SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here, and we welcome you to hour number two of a Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. 2 hours to go up until 11 a.m. Eastern time with a full recap and review of a football weekend that was. Three NFL games on a Saturday for a triple header and a full Sunday slate around the National Football League as well. So as we keep it going here, to start off hour number two, Donnie, let's fly around that Sunday slate, starting with the NFC playoff picture. The Panthers win their second game of the year outright at home, and Eddie Pinheiro field goal at the end. 9-7 the victory for the Panthers. They win outright as a 3-point home underdog against the Falcons. Atlanta this year is a favorite, by the way, 2-8 against the spread. Under Arthur Smith in the last 2 years, the Falcons are just 3-14 straight up on the road. We bring that up because we look at the NFC South divisional race at this moment. Tampa Bay is now 7-7. The New Orleans Saints also 7-7. But the Buccaneers, Donnie, an odds-on favorite at -155 to win the divisional crown.
Yeah, complete toss-up at this point. These teams are going to play each other. These teams have tough games down the stretch. They're also three teams that aren't fantastic teams, so you can't just look at the schedule like, oh, easy win there, easy win here. Why? Because we just played that game. The Atlanta Falcons taking on the Carolina Panthers. That's one, Ben, you look at it and go, hey, free win here for us. But the fact of the matter is they got a little bit of a bad break. You played in a monsoon, and the handicap on Friday when we were reviewing these games was who was just going to win the ground game. If the weather was going to be as bad as we think it is, and it was, this game was going to be lower scoring. It was my under the week. Didn't even need half of those points as they only got the 16 total. But you take a look at Algier, 14 carries for 45 yards, but that was it. 1.7 yards per carry for Atlanta, 3.6 yards per carry for Carolina, and 129 yards as we welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live here to the early line on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM channel 159. He's Ben, I'm Donnie, and look at this, man. You might be looking at your playoffs going up in smoke because you lost to the Panthers. Yeah, you deserve that, Atlanta. You definitely do.
You certainly do. Neither quarterback throws for more than 165 yards. Not Bryce Young, not Desmond Ridder. Barely saw Bijan Robinson. Chuba Hubbard on the other side, though, 22 carries, 87 yards. So Tampa is 7-7. Atlanta is 6-8. New Orleans is 7-7. Handling business at home against Tommy DeVito and the New York Giants. New Orleans wins 24-6, covering as a 5.5-point home favorite. Total stays under 38.5. It was a Saints football game. They have been under in 10 of 14 games this year. The Giants now 5-8-1 against the spread. New Orleans gets their seventh victory of the season.
Yeah, by the way, the Daily News front cover today, make those cutlets to go. Yeah, yes, Tommy Cutlets got pounded yesterday, yeah. But also you know, a little bit of a personal gripe. You know, the final drive of the game, Ben, you're down multiple touchdowns. You know Donnie Wrightside needs Wandale Robinson over 31.5. He's got 25 receiving yards. We couldn't get a cheap dump off, and there was multiple times. Have you ever done this, Ben? When you need something to go your way, all you do is put the spotlight on your one player, and as he runs crossing route after crossing route wide open, and the quarterback doesn't look his way, not great. Granted, he's probably not supposed to look at the 3-yard crossing route that turns into 7. You're looking for more chunks. But I was upset with Tommy Cutlets yesterday. But that was a big win for New Orleans, who came into that football game saying, who is actually playing wide receiver and how can they move the football? The defense finally rose to the occasion. And maybe if you can get a healthier down the stretch, that's some optimism here for the Saints. That's a nice win for them. The Giants had a pretty good streak coming in, and the Saints certainly ended that on Sunday.
Three straight wins for Big Blue, all outright as an underdog. We looked at that line entering the week, 5.5 points, 6 points, whatever it was, thinking the Giants would keep that game more competitive. Not necessarily. The Saints 2-8-1 against the spread entering as a favorite. Now make that 3-8-1. Derek Carr efficient, 23 of 28, 218 yards and 3 touchdowns. So when you look at the NFC playoff picture, a ton of teams at 7-7. Some in a divisional race, others in a wild card race, including the Los Angeles Rams. Now make it 4 in a row for LA. a 28-20 victory at home in SoFi over the Washington Commanders. The final score got a little dicey. It wasn't necessarily as competitive as a single-score game might indicate. The Rams do win and cover as a 6.5-point home favorite. Their seventh victory of the year, Donnie, over a preseason win total for Los Angeles that was 6.5.
And the Rams are going to get in the playoffs, and the Rams are going to be a tough out because, number one, they have a coach that is a very good play caller. Number two, when healthy, yep, Matthew Stafford is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. But when you just find Kyren Williams coming back off the IR and say he could be the best running back in the game right now, 27 carries for 152 yards, and also Cooper Kupp, 8 catches for 111. This team has the components to mess around with some of the upper level teams in the NFC. Now, the joke's always going to be on the Commanders, right? 4-10 overall. Sam Howell got pulled in that football game. They asked Ron Rivera. I'm actually surprised Ron Rivera's like, no, he'll be back next week because I think we clinched the playoffs with a victory. I don't even think he knows where he's at this point or what they're actually doing here. But that was a poor performance overall that we probably expected from the Commanders. And you're right. The game was actually closer on the scoreboard than it was on the football field. The Rams are one of those teams that if I have to get into the playoffs, I really don't want to play down the stretch. And correct me if I'm wrong. Right. Let me just check here quickly on the Rams' final three games of the season. I do think it comes up here with a San Francisco 49ers game coming up. It's a Saints, Giants, and 49ers.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Final game of the season in San Francisco because the San Francisco 49ers are probably still going to need that game and possibly the Rams as well. That's a good one to look forward to.
Certainly so. If that game does matter for postseason positioning, the Niners will be at full health. If not, it could be a gift for this Rams team. Cooper Kupp, 2 straight games with 110 receiving yards or more. He has scored and found the end zone in 3 straight. Kyren Williams, at least 88 yards on the ground in 5 straight for the Rams. He has rushed for 114 plus in 4 of the last 5. So the Rams currently in one of those playoff spots in the NFC at 7-7. Again, 4 teams in the NFC at 7-7. The Seahawks end out this week on Monday Night Football. They're 6-7. The Packers have lost 2 straight as a favorite outright. They dropped to 6-8. Same story for the Dirty Birds of Atlanta. The Vikings also now 7-7. An overtime thriller in the opening game of the triple header on Saturday in the National Football League, week number 15. Cincinnati prevails. They have won 3 straight, led by Jake Browning. They are now 8-6, 27-24. The win for the Bengals in overtime. They push as a 3-point home favorite. The total of 41.5 goes over, but the Bengals are 8-6. The Vikings fall to 7-7.
Yeah, that was a huge game. Playoff ramifications in both conferences there, in the AFC and the NFC. And it looked like the Vikings were going to walk away with a victory and then say, okay, where do we find ourselves? And maybe the Bengals, we would write themselves off. But keep in mind on this, too, I like the way Nick Mullins played. So we're going to get some pretty good football out of the Vikings. The bigger question mark is how injured is that shoulder for your superstar wide receiver, Jamar Chase?
We'll look at all that happened on Saturday and this weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking back on the Saturday slate, week number 15 of this National Football League regular season, before we give you our weekend winners and losers. Nightcap on Saturday out in the Motor City, a game the Lions desperately needed and a game they got in a big way. 42-17, easily covering as a 4.5-point home favorite against the Denver Broncos. Detroit now 8-4 against the number as a favorite, Donnie. It was a game the Lions needed. It was a game they delivered, bouncing back in a big way. Again, the final score, 42-17.
Yeah, early in the week, I said, you know what? I think the Denver Broncos could be live in this game, getting 3.5, 4 points. I said, I like the way they've been playing football, and they'll probably play it a little bit closer to the vest. And quite frankly, not loving what I was seeing of the Detroit Lions. But then as the week progressed, you start to get into some of the details of, oh, this team's going to be playing their third straight road game and how well the Detroit Lions typically play at home. It wasn't a surprise to me that the Lions won. It was a surprise to me, Ben, how easily the Lions won, 42-17 final. Jared Goff finally on track there. 5 touchdown passes, no interceptions. interceptions. It felt like the week before against the Chicago Bears, every other ball he was throwing felt like it could be intercepted. And also, look at the running game here. There were 28 total carries here for the Detroit Lions. 11 by Gibbs, 17 by Montgomery. 100 yards on the ground for Gibbs, 85 yards on the ground for Montgomery. They win at every level of offense, which is why it's going to be tough. You don't want to play in Detroit, which is key for that dome team who probably is going outdoors to play the Philadelphia Eagles and or the 49ers. That's where you want them. I love watching them play offense. Ben Johnson's an unbelievable coordinator, and they were on that gas pedal on Saturday.
Two total touchdowns for Jahmyr Gibbs. Three of the five passing scores from Jared Goff to his rookie tight end out of Iowa, Sam Laporta. When you look at what Detroit has done, 42 points, they almost go over the pregame total of 47.5 by themselves. But I also think it represents a bad spot on the schedule for the Broncos. And the 1-5 start for Denver, they went over in four of those six games. As they had cleaned things up, winners of six of their last seven entering, they had gone under in six of those last seven games. Saturday night, over in a big way. You could almost correlate it to the Broncos' success this year. We talked about the Bengals and the Vikings, the overtime thriller. Cincinnati wins 27-24 in OT. 28 combined points between the two sides, Donnie, in the fourth quarter. It went back and forth in that final stanza.
Yeah, it was a great performance here. T. Higgins had some memorable catches in that football game. But also, you want to focus on Minnesota because we've seen this multiple times this year, Ben, where backups to the backup quarterback are getting in and spinning it. Mullins went 26 of 33 for 303 and two touchdowns. They did have a couple of bad turnovers. Yeah. But what do you expect? That's what Nick Mullins is. He's willing to throw that football in tight spots, which sometimes turns out to be big plays, sometimes doesn't. But I don't know how you let this get away, too. Chai Chandler came in this football game filling in for Madison. 23 carries for 132. The Vikings should have won that football game and let it slip away. Their playoff hopes, yes, they're still in it, but that was a massive victory for whoever was going to get that in their respective conference, and the Cincinnati Bengals pulled it out. They're a fun football team to watch. Let's just see if they can do some damage in Kansas City now.
Jake Browning has thrown for at least 275 yards in his last three starts. 324, two touchdown tosses, albeit an interception on Saturday. He said after the game, he was cut by the Vikings franchise multiple times, that game meant something to him, and we saw it in the performance. The Bengals have won three straight under Browning, including as a favorite in their last two. Indianapolis entered having ended their four-game win streak on the road in Cincy the week prior. They bounced back in a big way at home in the second of three in that triple header. The Colts win 30-13, covering as a 1.5-point home favorite. They have won five of their last six games, and in all five of those victories, Donnie, the Colts have won and covered as a very slight favorite. They've never laid more than 2 points, but they win that game 30-13, handing the Steelers its third consecutive loss.
If I'm picking coach of the year, it's going to come down to Shane Steichen there in Indianapolis and or DeMeco Ryans down there in Houston. But this game, I mean, Pittsburgh Steelers, playoffs are on the line here. You just dropped back-to-back games against two-win football teams. So how do you write that ship, Ben? You go on the road against a quality opponent in the Colts, somebody you might be fighting for playoff chances here. You get up double digits on them, and then you absolutely melt the entire rest of the way, which includes many questionable decisions in that football game by your head coach, Mike Tomlin, on when to punt, when to not go for field goals, and quite frankly, some time clock management as well. But Trubisky is he's every bit as bad as we thought he always was in Chicago, because I always get back to the point here. He's not a rookie here. He's in an offense that has solid tight ends, wide receivers, and running backs, and they stink out loud every single week. So Kenny Pickett wasn't much better, but come on, Mitch. You're not thrust in here. It's like, oh my God, I never started a game before. How can I have any success? You should have had a lot of success against the Colts, and yet absolutely none. But credit the Colts for coming back and not folding their tent in the first half here after that block punt. A big-time performance in a runaway easy victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Two INTs for Trubisky. Najee Harris fumbled as well. Three turnovers for Pittsburgh. Zero on the other side for the Colts. No Jonathan Taylor once again, but a pair of rookies for Indianapolis leads that team to rush for 170 yards in Indy. And Gardner Minshew throws three passing scores. So the Colts 8-6. They occupy one of the wild card spots in the AFC. There are four teams at 8-6 in the AFC. The Browns 9-5. 5, four teams in the wild card race, the Jacksonville Jaguars, also 8-6. So three teams in the AFC South at 8-6. There are four teams at 7-7 in the NFC as we look at those wild card standings as well. So as we go into our weekend winners and losers, both Donnie and I have the Pittsburgh Steelers in our losers category, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. Let's start with the winners of the weekend. Donnie, who do you look at as having the best weekend that we saw this past weekend in the National Football League?
They could probably go around and use it as a team, but I thought it was Brock Purdy. And the reason why I brought that up is he was sensational against the Cardinals. So I thought he would be sensational against the Cardinals. I thought he would just throw for a little bit more than 250 yards, but four touchdowns, no interceptions. Everybody felt like they were running wide open. But this was one of those weeks where he said, all right, it's going to be me versus Dak Prescott this weekend. And if nobody knows the press clipping, San Francisco 49ers front office, they know what it is, because Kyle Shanahan marked that this week. Hey, look, I'm not going to favor each one of these guys, but I do acknowledge they are both MVP candidates. So it's up to your coach to put them in the right direction. And after this football game, the clear MVP in the NFL to me is Brock Purdy. Now, do I think he's the best football player overall on his team? No, I don't. But that's not the criteria, apparently, for how you win MVP. It must be a quarterback. And if the quarterback is on the best football team in the NFL and he's putting up great statistics every single week, it almost doesn't matter what anybody else does around me. Hint, Christian McCaffrey in that backfield. But I thought Brock Purdy for me was the biggest winner, because now instead of, hey, it's a toss-up, how are you going to do down the stretch? Injury is the only thing going to prevent Brock Purdy from winning the MVP right now. He was great on Sunday.
It's the first time we have seen anybody in minus money in the MVP race right now. Brock Purdy at minus 200 as the odds-on favorite. Lamar Jackson, second best price at plus 450. Brock Purdy, a recipient of a bad Dak Prescott game on the road for the Cowboys as well. They asked Brock Purdy after the game about the MVP debate, and he said he thinks Christian McCaffrey should win the most valuable player. CMC, 20-1, sixth best price on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Last 10 winners of the award have played quarterback, 15 of the last 16, a quarterback as well. Both Donnie and I want to highlight the Buffalo Bills. Two straight wins for Buffalo following their bye week. Last week on the road in Arrowhead against Kansas City in a big way at home yesterday. And Donnie, we have talked about how jumbled the playoff pictures are in both conferences. A couple of divisional races still up in the air, and the wild card races are exactly that, wild. But I think when you talk about all the teams that are in contention, can any of the wild card teams make some noise? I highlight just one by the time we get to the playoffs. And it's those Buffalo Bills, a 10-1 price to win the AFC entering the weekend, now plus 750. More weekend winners and losers from the weekend that was around the sports landscape. Up next, live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. So both Donnie and I believe the Buffalo Bills are in the winners category this week. I think, Donnie, because of Buffalo's performances the last 2 weeks and what we have seen out of the Bills, wins over Kansas City in Arrowhead, full domination over Dallas yesterday at home, despite Josh Allen only throwing for 94 yards, Buffalo has proven once again, they're at where their preseason expectations should have been. The Bills, not only a playoff team, but a true conference contender in the AFC.
And we've been screaming for 5 years, it feels like, can we just get a competent running back in Buffalo to help out Josh Allen? Failed measures with drafting, failed measures with making moves and free agent and scrap heap guys here. When you're finally seeing now the potential of the Buffalo Bills with a strong ground game. You've been seeing that the past couple weeks, and also Cook from running and also as that satellite running back out in space, catching passes, making big plays. I love the options here for Buffalo, but I do always draw it back by saying, boy, they are so damaged on defense that eventually it is going to catch up to them here. But I like what I see out of the Buffalo Bills. Clear winner for me of the week as well. And if they run the table, again, they will have the moniker of the hottest team in the AFC heading into the playoffs here. It should be fun to watch.
8-6 right now for Buffalo, one of those four teams in wild card contention with the same exact record. But Buffalo's only two games back of Miami. The Dolphins, a very difficult schedule until they will beat Buffalo in Miami to end out the regular season. For the Bills, not as much. Buffalo playing in the doubleheader on Saturday on the road in Los Angeles. But where the Chargers are right now with an interim head coach and interim general manager, a entire staff that has been turned over, Buffalo's a 13.5 point road favorite. And you're right, Donnie, a lot of defensive issues for Buffalo in terms of those injuries. But Dak Prescott yesterday, just 21-34 for 134 yards, 3.9 yards per attempt, no touchdown tosses, one INT. I'll go to college football. How could we not work in a little bit of the bowl bonanza from the opening Saturday of this bowl season? Six FBS football games in Jacksonville State, in its first year as an FBS football program, wins its very first bowl game in the New Orleans Bowl against Louisiana. The Raging Cajuns, a slight home field advantage. The game goes to overtime, and the Gamecocks win it 34-31, covering as a slight 2.5 point favorite in the New Orleans Bowl as well. In their first FBS year, they play in a bowl game. They go 5-1-1 against the number as a favorite, and Rich Rodriguez, back at the FBS level, leads Jacksonville State to a 9-win season and a bowl game victory in its very first FBS year. That is very impressive. Donnie, who is your final weekend winner of what we saw?
It's the Cleveland Browns here, because they're still in playoff contention. Almost, I believe, 87% I saw as the latest forecasted update for them to make the playoffs. And they're not crying, New York Jets, about playing their fourth quarterback of the season, who they got off the retired scrap heap now and are certainly moving the football with ease here. No crying in Cleveland. By the way, I do put them as a leader, because I do think football is better when those Rust Belt teams get into it. Like the Cleveland Browns, if they ever were able to get a home game in the playoffs, it's so much fun to watch. It's cold weather. It's meant to be what football is. So my winner of the week, the Cleveland Browns and their fan base here, they should be heading to the playoffs, because damn it, they deserve it.
How about Joe Flacco, man? More than 300 yards for a third consecutive week. He has led Cleveland to two consecutive victories as well. The Browns, a slight 2.5-point road underdog as they head to Houston on Sunday. A strong Texans line, another game that we will see week 16 that features two of the teams in the jumbled AFC playoff picture facing off against one another. But Cleveland has a leg up at 9-5. I go to the college basketball realm for my final winner of the weekend, the Purdue Boilermakers. In a game in Indianapolis, 92-84, the Boilers get the win. It was a matchup of number three Purdue against number one Arizona, two of the top three teams in the country, and Purdue hands the Wildcats their first loss of the year. We were talking about this game, Donnie, with the CFT crew on Saturday. Kevin asked me what I thought about it. I said it would come down to the guard position, and I favored Arizona. But a shout out to the young guards in the backcourt for Matt Painter's Purdue team. Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer combined for 53 points. That is the difference for this Purdue team. I called my shot on Saturday. Just twice in the history of the NCAA tournament have we ever seen a one seed lose to a 16 seed. That was 2018 UMBC knocking off Virginia. This past year in 2023, Purdue goes down to Fairleigh Dickinson. In 2019, Virginia responded by winning a national championship. That's the only ever time we have seen a 16 beat a 1 in what the one seed has done in the tournament following. I think Purdue does the same. They get to the Final Four for the first time in more than four decades. They win a national championship, giving the Big Ten Conference its first national title in men's college basketball since the year 2000.
Yeah, we're about 2 weeks away from true conference play, so we'll see how you get battle-tested. You know, that iron sharpens iron. The Big Ten here, certainly very deep, as well as the Big 12 and the ACC. But you get these wins here to pad those statistics. Why, Ben? Because when you get to the tournament, it's better to be a higher-seeded team, having an easier path to get to the Final Four. And these wins earlier in the season against quality-ranked opponents will help get you there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now to the losers. Donnie, you correlated your winner of the weekend, the number one spot, to Brock Purdy in the MVP race, with who your number one loser is as well.
Dak Prescott, not because they're not a good football team and not because Dak Prescott's not a good quarterback, but in a big moment where the pressure starts to ratchet up, the Dallas Cowboys usually seem to fade into the background. And yes, I did list Dak Prescott. It could have been Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, but I wanted to go toe-to-toe. You had a chance to say, okay, we had a great home run here. Let's go test our mettle in some conditions and elements against a team that absolutely needs to win this football game, and you barely throw for 125 yards in this game. That was a terrible performance out of Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. And also, yes, my winner of the week was Brock Purdy. Why? It was basically a head-to-head competition without playing head-to-head between those two. And quite frankly, said it multiple times last week. Hey, Purdy could go off this weekend, which he did, 4 touchdown passes. But you give me a 14-13 win by the Dallas Cowboys over the Buffalo Bills, you probably would still have Dak Prescott as the favorite to win the MVP. But the fact that they got absolutely blown away and destroyed, even though, again, not a knock on Dak, but he's my loser of the week because in the biggest moment to separate yourself, you did that, but in the wrong direction.
Certainly so. Plus 150 was the price for both Purdy and Prescott entering the weekend co-favorites to win the NFL MVP award. Now Purdy minus 200, the first time we have seen any MVP candidate in minus money this year. That's where Brock Purdy stands as the odds-on favorite. Dak Prescott back to the third best price at 7-1. On the five-game win streak for Dallas, one interception only for Dak Prescott, but with a ton of touchdown tosses, 0 touchdown tosses, and an INT in Buffalo. And that's a huge component of this. It was a Buffalo Bills line. It was a Buffalo Bills game. The Bills could have won the game outright, covered as a 2.5-point favorite by winning by 3. But if Dak went in there and performed, then we would have different questions about this Dallas team. The Cowboys on the road have been an underdog 3 times. San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Buffalo, 3 teams we consider cream of the crop in the National Football League. And as that road underdog, Dallas is 0-3 against the spread. And where does Dallas sit on this Monday morning? In the 5 spot. Top wild card team, but the 5 seed in the NFC playoff picture, which means any path to a conference championship would be on the road for the Dallas Cowboys. If you want to talk about bungling playoff positioning, the Pittsburgh Steelers have done that, Donnie, each of the past 3 weeks. They were booked as a home favorite in 2 consecutive weeks, laying near 5.5, 6 points against a 2-win team in Arizona. At the time, the Cardinals got win number 3 outright. The Patriots, a 2-win team at the time. New England got win number 3 outright. And then in a game that featured just a 1.5-point spread against another wild card contender in the AFC, the Steelers got blown off the tracks, 30-13. By the Indianapolis Colts. They have probably ended their playoff chances in the last 3 weeks. And I don't care if it's Mitch Trubisky, if it's Mason Rudolph, if it's Kenny Pickett. You lost games you shouldn't have. And for a storied Pittsburgh Steelers franchise, unexpected results the last 3 weeks.
Absolutely horrendous. We should be talking this Monday morning about the Pittsburgh Steelers as the possible number 1 overall seed and getting a bye in the AFC, and maybe Tomlin found that spice of life by just barely beating football teams that says the record is the only thing that matters here as we move forward. Now we find ourselves talking Monday morning about bye-bye to the Pittsburgh Steelers because that's their playoff hopes right now because they are a horrendous football team with no upside. Now, granted, having said that, Mike Tomlin, hey, you know what? Still got to win the play these last 3 games, and you know, winning for the Pittsburgh Steelers is the utmost importance, but they're not going to make the playoffs here. And the only fault is the Pittsburgh Steelers. No scoreboard watching. You lost to some of the worst football teams in the NFL in the biggest moments. That's a sure sign of a loser, and that's why I got them there as well.
The Steelers are 7-7 alongside the Denver Broncos. Both teams a full game now behind 4 teams in the wild card race. Bengals, Colts, Texans, Bills, all at 8-6. The Steelers should be a 9-win football team at this moment. They should have been. And when you're booked as a 5.5-point favorite against the Cardinals, a 6-point favorite against the Patriots, you need to get to 9 wins. They did it. They've lost 3 in a row, and now their playoff chances very, very slim. We'll finish with our final loser of the weekend that was before we move forward from the weekend to a Monday night in the finale of week number 15. Out in the Pacific Northwest, it's Monday Night Football between the Eagles and the Seahawks. A preview coming your way up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Two things to do here in this segment: finish off our review of the weekend and set the stage for the week to come, including Monday Night Football tonight out in Seattle. It's a battle of the birds, the Eagles, and the Seahawks. Donnie Wrightside, your final loser of the weekend was who?
Well, you know what? Let me slide up here and remember who that actually was here. Let's go. So let's take a look. Oh, yeah. It was the
New York
Jets. We should have just went with the we should have just went with the Jets the entire time at this point here. And quite frankly, it wasn't even been about what actually took place on Sunday, because many of us thought the Jets could actually keep it close, maybe not win that football game. But again, just to completely embarrass themselves out here. And then Robert Saleh to go like, well, what do you want me to do? We have a backup quarterback to a back. Yeah, everybody has backup quarterbacks. And oh, my offensive line is really injured. Everybody's offensive line is basically pummeled and injured at this time of the season. The Jets have been terrible, but also the reason why they're going to be on here, they might be on here for the next couple weeks. Please let this happen. Give me Aaron Rodgers in football games that don't matter, winning football games so their draft position plummets because of the ego of their quarterback in the room, who quite frankly might as well be the owner of the team because whatever he says goes here. But the Jets being a loser, not only from the play on the field to what I anticipate the rest of the way in December, Ben.
And they are the biggest loser in professional sports, in the men's major four professional sports leagues around North America. 13 consecutive seasons now, the New York Jets have missed out on the playoffs. That is the longest active playoff drought in those four major leagues: NBA, NFL, MLB, and the NHL. That's where things stand for the New York Jets. Will next year be a different story with a fully healthy Aaron Rodgers? That remains to be seen. Speaking of big losers, when you lose 23 consecutive games, you are exactly that. The Pistons now have lost 23 straight games. Since we last spoke, Donnie, on Friday, that's two consecutive 32-point losses against the 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks. Detroit was booked as a 15-plus point underdog in both of those games. They did not cover. Not only has Detroit dropped 23 in a row, they have only covered five times on that skid. Very much in the losers category, and who knows if the Pistons are going to change that anytime soon. I just don't understand how on any given night in the NBA, you can't just walk into a win somehow, some way, with how fluky things are throughout a regular season. The Pistons are in a really bad spot as an organization.
You're right about that, because if you, let's just move it back to 1985, when nobody took any days off here. You played when you played, you gave it your best shot, and away you went. You say, well, they lost 23 in a row. Well, yeah, they're the worst team in the league. So on a night-to-night basis, they're always going to be the worst team. But you're right about how the NBA is set up. There's probably of those 23 games, Ben, where they played at least five games on another team where they back-to-back sitting superstars injured or just flat-out tired and still weren't able to compete at that level. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. And again, this is coming from an organization that wasn't waving the white flag heading into the season saying the only thing we care about is let's keep our draft status where it needs to be. Maybe some of our younger kids progress and they play good basketball, but we're not trying to win. This was a team that was actually trying to make the playoffs from game one forward. With a coach, they said, you know what? This is the guy for the future to start building the model for us. They've been absolutely terrible. And you're right. The fact that they haven't won in 23 straight games, who knows when this win streak is even going to end? Or excuse me, losing streak is going to end.
Yeah, we feel like at some point it's going to come to a close, but is it? When you're losing by 32? When you're not covering numbers? It's really, really bad right now for the Detroit Pistons. Now let's move forward to Monday Night Football in Seattle. It's the Seahawks. It's the Eagles. Philadelphia has lost two straight games against San Francisco and Dallas, booked as an underdog. Philly now a favorite once again. A 3.5-point spread in favor of the Eagles on the road against the Hawks. The over-under 45. Quarterback questions entering this football game. Jalen Hurts is apparently rather under the weather. He was downgraded to questionable yesterday as his illness took a turn for the worse Saturday night into Sunday morning. Are we going to see Geno Smith in this football game? Reports indicating that is going to be the case, but it has moved the spread a little bit. It was 3 overnight. It was 3.5 earlier in the week. Now add back on the hook 3.5 points in favor of Philadelphia, Donnie, on the road in the Pacific Northwest.
This is going to be interesting, and here's how I'm going to preface this game, because after those two games that you had against the 49ers and the Cowboys, do you want to win this game? Absolutely. Do you need it for playoff seeding? Maybe you don't here, and hear me out on this, Ben, because if it's like, I was under the guise of, okay, you lost to the 49ers and the Cowboys, now you must win out. As long as you do, you'll be able to hold off the Dallas Cowboys. With the loss yesterday of the Dallas Cowboys to the Buffalo Bills, and this is also coming from Ben, I didn't expect the Dallas Cowboys to run the table the rest of the way out. But the Eagles can also lose this football game, but beat the Giants twice and the Arizona Cardinals, which, again, two of those three football games are at home. They will have the second overall seed due to the strength of schedule with the Detroit Lions and also with the Dallas Cowboys. You would get the bump there. Yeah. The reason I bring this up is because, again, I was viewing this as a must-win for the Philadelphia Eagles, when technically it's not. And also, handicapping a football game where your superstar quarterback doesn't leave with the team but catches his own private jet 7 or 8 hours later because he doesn't want to infect anybody in the locker room here. Have you ever just been to work or sat up in a chair or, you know, said, hey, I had to go out to the mailbox when you were sick with the flu? It's not a great feeling. Now try to avoid 325-pound defensive tackles and edge rushers coming at you left and right while trying to dissect the defense 3,000 miles away from home and being sick. This is an interesting game to see it play out. Also, here's one of the big topics that came out of yesterday. Sean Desai, who has been an absolute train wreck as the Eagles' defensive coordinator this season, is no longer the Eagles' defensive coordinator. They're going back to Matt Patricia. Now, some might say here, remember Matt Patricia in Detroit and, you know, it was only Bill Belichick's defense. I understand that. But there's always something about going back to a veteran defensive signal caller where you get that calming influence in the locker room that, oh, you know what? There's veterans maybe not questioning some of these calls coming into the game that you would against a coordinator that doesn't have nearly as much miles on the tread here as Matt Patricia does. That's something to keep an eye out for. So I won't be surprised if the Philadelphia Eagles do lose tonight. But having said this, if Jalen Hurts is good enough to go tonight, the Eagles better win this football game, because now you're going to start questioning things. If Marcus Mariota started this football game and lost, hey, you know what? Jalen Hurts would have won that football game. He's under the weather. He's rested. Just need to win the final three games of the season. If Jalen Hurts doesn't play well and the Eagles lose, and also after trading in the coordinator spot and the Eagles coming up lame on defense as well with no Darius Slay cornerback, we're going to have a lot more questions tomorrow for sure, Ben.
Darius Slay undergoing surgery. He is expected to be back, though, at some point this season. It was a huge storyline yesterday as we were getting ready for the Sunday slate. The change in defensive coordinator, or at least in play calling duties for Philadelphia, Matt Patricia taking over those play calling duties for Sean Desai. A lot of people remembering what Patricia did as a head coach with the Lions, or is the pseudo offensive coordinator last year for the New England Patriots. But as a strict defensive play caller, Matt Patricia is pretty darn good. And Philly needs it. They've allowed 23 or more points in 5 of their last 6 games. They've allowed 31 plus in 4 of those last 6. They've allowed 33 or more in 3 consecutive games. 5th worst scoring defense in the league. That's where the Eagles are entering this Week 15 Monday night football game. The Eagles were only booked as an underdog one time. In 2022, it was in the final game of 2022's NFL season, Super Bowl 57 against Kansas City. Since that point, in the last 4 weeks, the Eagles have been booked as an underdog 3 times, against Kansas City, against San Francisco at home, and last week on the road, Sunday night in Dallas. Now a favorite once again. Philly as a favorite this year, 6-2-2 against the number, 3-1-1 against the number as a road favorite. And this is even stronger, in my opinion, for why I already bet Philadelphia -3, taking advantage of a good number, entering Monday Night Football. The Birds, Donnie, have been booked as a favorite a ton this year, like we showed, 10 times. In 6 of those games, Philly has laid less than 6 points. When they have laid less than 6 points in a football game, Philadelphia is a perfect 6-0 against the spread.
And won't it feel good for the Eagles to line up against the Seahawks and go, man, this feels good. You guys don't have extra rest by 4 or 5 days over us here, and we have to play on the road? We'll see if that matters up. But again, we're not going to know this for sure. We talk about this a lot, Ben, in the NBA. Like, hey, man, we're trying to handicap a game at 9:49 Eastern here. How's that going to work out? We don't know who's going to be in the starting lineup. You get that question tonight, too, because maybe it does change your opinion if it's Drew Lock or it's Geno Smith. Maybe it does change your opinion if it's Jalen Hurts and or Marcus Mariota. Right. There are a lot of things up for grabs in this game, but the one thing, regardless of quarterback, Ben, I still look at that total and say that's doable, because I understand Patricia's going to be calling the signals, but for a secondary that's been damaged as is, Darius Slay hasn't had a fantastic season, but he's better than whatever's behind him at this point, and that's going to even stress the defense out a little bit more. You're also going up against three legitimate targets at wide receiver. You say the same thing about the Philadelphia Eagles. Even if Marcus Mariota comes in, it's not a rookie seventh round draft pick that you've never seen play. Good luck to the Philadelphia Eagles. Mariota's been around the block and can have some success in this offense. Yeah. So instead of looking at the sides who's going to win, I don't care who plays quarterback, Ben, on either side, I'm going to take the total in this game to the over.
45 right now is that number. The Ravens and Jaguars last night, the first primetime under we had seen in quite some time, 7 of the last 8 entering the Sunday night football game in Duval County had gone over. 45 is that total. The Seahawks have been over in 3 of their last 5. Philadelphia over in 4 of their last 6. The Seahawks have been booked as an underdog in 4 consecutive games. They've covered in 3 of the last 4. They've been booked as nearly a double-digit dog, at least getting 9.5 points in their last 2 against the Cowboys. And then last week, nearly a 2-touchdown underdog against San Francisco. They covered in both of those games. No props out for any quarterbacks for Seattle. Geno Smith, a true game time decision for this Monday night football game. There is a number out, though, for Jalen Hurts. 242.5 is his passing yards prop. 31 in a hook, the number on the ground. To find pay dirt, either a tush push or otherwise, -105. Do you expect, by the time we get to game time on a Monday night in Seattle, Jalen Hurts to line up under center as the starting quarterback for the Birds?
When I saw the chartered flight for the Eagles leaving and the report was Hurts didn't travel with the team and is questionable, I got one of those Kawhi Leonard laughs, like this guy's going to be questionable for a football game where he's not even in the city 3,000 miles away. But the minute you saw the chartered jet 7 hours later leave, Jalen Hurts being sick did not take a 5 to 6 hour flight to Seattle to hang out and be sick and watch this football game. Jalen Hurts took that flight to play starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. No doubt in my mind Jalen Hurts will start tonight. We'll just have to see, Ben, how effective he's going to be.
Yeah, I agree. It's never good to have the flu, but there are some notable flu games in the history of sports. Get those IVs working for this football game. For the wide receivers, 82.5. The yards prop for A.J. Brown, 60 and a hook for Devontae Smith. No grabs, no reception props on the other side for Seattle, but the yardages are out for both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and the rest of the crew. 52.5 for Lockett, 63.5 for Metcalf. Here's where Philadelphia enters. As of right now, before their 14th football game of the year, the Birds are in the 2 spot in the NFC playoff picture, the second best price to win the NFC championship at +350. We'll continue to preview Monday Night Football up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out hour number 2 live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside, and this is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store, or you just scan the QR code on your screen. One final football game in the National Football League, week number 15. It's tonight on Monday out in Seattle between the Eagles and the Seahawks. What is the best bet for Monday Night Football? It was our question to you in Fade the Public. What's the best bet for Monday Night Football at SportsGrid TV on Twitter? And it's been pretty close for most of the public, but when Donnie Wrightside slaps a Riz Twiz on a Fade the Public poll that includes anything Philadelphia, you know you're going to get the public involved. A lot of the public now, Donnie, looking at the Eagles, more than 40% of the public saying Philadelphia laying 3, now 3.5 on the road in Seattle is tonight's best bet.
Yeah, let's take a look at this game overall, because we just, Ben and I just broke this game down and said, well, yeah, both quarterbacks could play. Both quarterbacks might not play in this game. So for me, even before trying to break it down to just the quarterbacks itself, you feel like this is going to be an over game. The Eagles offense is still going to be okay, even if it's Marcus Mariota. The Seattle Seahawks defense isn't very good. The Philadelphia Eagles defense has been an absolute sieve, Ben, for the past couple weeks. No Darius Slay in this football game, but Matt Patricia takes over. Maybe we'll see a little bit more. But the one thing we know about the Eagles is they struggle defending the outside and inside wide receivers. You got 3 of those for Seattle. So if you might say, okay, the Eagles are a favorite here, which 40% of the public thinks the Eagles will win this game and cover, to only 13.5% figuring that the Seattle Seahawks will do that. But my money is going on the over here, a slight lean towards the under. Mm. Why would we be looking at a slowdown game tonight? It ain't happening, Ben. It ain't happening.
Over in 3 of the last 5 for Seattle, over in 4 of the last 6 for Philadelphia. We'll break down Monday Night Football when hour number 3 starts in less than a minute, live right here on the Early Line.